Take your Bibles, please, from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, we'll read verses 16 through 28 together. We'll read this passage responsively. I say again, let no man think of me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning a reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and let's finish on verse 28 together, ready? Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us in this place. And God, what a wonderful blessing it is to come expecting you to do something here. What a wonderful thing it is to come and expect the presence of the Holy Spirit. But we must ask you for it continually and beg you and obey you. Father, tonight, please be with our preacher. Our church is poised to do something far greater than just reach this country or this county, this part of the country, but it could help change the entire country. The lighthouse sits up on a hill that the whole nation looks to. Father, please fill our preacher tonight with a unique blessing from you so that we might catch what he has in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
To be very honest with you, I don't feel qualified to present my observations to you tonight, and I'm sure that I will fail to some degree. Now, tonight's sermon is for the people of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. If you're a guest, we welcome you to listen in, but this is specifically for the people of our church. Someone might say, is this a sermon that would someone might speak at a national conference? No, quite the contrary. This sermon is a family chat. I don't think I'll raise my voice. I don't think I'll leave from this spot. More than likely, I'll talk for the rest of the night using this volume, standing right in this place. This sermon's purpose is to help you better understand God's will for my life. Now, I did not ask God for what He has given to me regarding His will. I have tried to accept the responsibility of it, and sometimes it's difficult. I want to remind you of 2 or 3 verses, if I could, please. Very familiar passage of Scripture. You don't need to turn to it. I'll read to you from the King James Bible. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Then finally, the last scripture that I'll bring to your attention is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 28. It's the last verse of the series that you read with Dr. Bush earlier. The Bible says, "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Let me point something out to you about these three passages of Scripture. First of all, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, that's the Great Commission verses. He says, "I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He talks here about going and teaching all nations. Well, here Jesus is giving the command that we should go to all nations and preach the gospel. He says, even to the end of the world. In other words, to every little nook and cranny. That's what we're supposed to do. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And what the Bible is teaching us here is this is a breakdown: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. That little breakdown there, it says you start at home, and you're Jerusalem. Now, our Jerusalem is Martinsburg, West Virginia, if you will. Our county may be our Jerusalem. And then Judea, we spread ourselves out a little further to the states in this area. And then Samaria may be a region of the country. And finally, it says to the uttermost parts of the world. God again is saying, I don't want you to just give the gospel out in your hometown, but I want that gospel to be spread throughout the entire world. Now notice, in that passage of Scripture says that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, there was a prerequisite to reaching the whole world, and that prerequisite was the Holy Spirit of God. And God said, well, if the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you, then I want to use you to reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. Then we see in that scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 28, the Apostle Paul said, "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." What Paul was saying there is, I help a lot of churches. I have my daily responsibilities, but a part of the responsibility that God has given me is the responsibility of caring for many other churches. Listen to this. Acts 15:36, the Bible says, "And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Here's Paul and Barnabas talking, and Paul says to Barnabas, said, listen, we better get to all the churches where we have preached, and let's make sure they're doing okay. Let's make sure that those people are spiritually healthy. Let's make sure that we go there and encourage them and keep them on the straight and narrow path. Let's make sure they're still preaching the Bible and living the Bible, and that their church is not corrupting, and that they're being encouraged. That's what Paul was doing. That's what Paul was talking to Barnabas about. He was visiting and helping churches. Now, all of that as a preface to what I want to say to you this evening. When I came here to candidate, I preached a sermon that's called "Please Don't Vote for Me." In it, there were many, many points, and I told you of the things that I was very straightforward with you. I was very candid about what I was, who I was, what I stood for. I'm not hidden a thing from you. One of those points when I candidated, I said, please don't vote for me as your pastor if you do not want a pastor that travels across the country and influences the United States of America. I make this statement. I don't think it is in defense, but it is a statement that may educate you. Let me tell you something, folks. There is a difference in vanity and reality. Sometimes we have a hard time realizing the difference. I travel across the nation. You say, what are you doing when you travel? Well, to be very honest, I'm going around trying to care for churches and care for pastors. I mean this with every ounce of me. You're not looking tonight at a big shot. I'm not a big shot. I'm a little country boy from a little town in central Indiana. I grew up near the cornfields. I am not a blue blood. I'm not royalty. Just a public school kid that grew up, and at 16, God called him to preach. I do travel the country, and I go around doing a simple thing. I go around helping my friends. I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to teach you some things this evening. I'm going to share with you a private conversation that I had with my pastor for 18 years, Dr. Jack Hiles. And it's a conversation that he and I had, and then after the initial conversation, we had many other conversations. Had a lot of private conversations with him, some of which I will never discuss with anybody on the face of this earth. This one, I want to make you privy to what he said to me. I went on the staff at a great First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, which has been acclaimed the world's largest Sunday school for many, many years. I went on staff, and I was just a kid preacher, fresh out of Bible college. Matter of fact, my senior year of Bible college, I was asked to preach in the Nationwide Pastors Conference, and I hadn't even graduated from school yet, and I thought it a little strange that they asked me, and I had the privilege. It wasn't long, but I did stand up, and they asked me to preach a sermon, and I did. Scared to death. Well, when you're just a kid and they ask you to stand up before 7,000 pastors, assistant pastors, or full-time workers from all over the world, it's a pretty scary thing. It's almost like facing your wife telling her, no, you can't go to Walmart. It's a scary thing. I was hired at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana in the month of October. Soon after, in the month of March, I spoke in a national conference. That summer, in July, I spoke in a national youth conference. And to be honest, from the time that I was hired, I didn't know anything other than speaking to people from all across the world in the United States of America. After I got hired, I don't know why, but I started receiving invitations to speak. And they came from all over the place. Well, I'm going to be very honest with you. I was tickled with that, and I was a little impressed with myself. I thought, boy, I tell you what, I have arrived. So I got a bunch of these engagements together, and I thought, I'm going to go sit down and speak with Dr. Hiles. He's a world traveler, and I'm going to go sit down and talk with him, and I'm just going to ask him what he thinks I ought to do with these speaking engagements, because I just knew he was going to say, hey, you have arrived. You just get out there and go travel. I just knew he was going to say that. So I took my little handful of speaking engagements. I went in and I said, Brother Hiles, I said, I'm getting these speaking engagements from across the nation. I said, I'd just like to know what you think I ought to do. He said, I wouldn't accept them. I thought, what? Say what, man? He said, young man, he said, you are a pulpiteer. He said, and people are attracted by that. He said, but if I were you, I'd learn how to build something, not just be a good speaker. Anybody can speak, but won't you put some guts behind that thing, and won't you learn to build something? He said, if I were you, I'd not take those speaking engagements. Oh, as a young man, I thought, I did what he suggested. He said, if they want you now, they will want you later. He said, why don't you wait a few years, and once you get some experience under your belt, now I have more than experience under my belt. He said, you get a little experience under your belt. He said, I'll promise you, if they want you now, they will want you later, but if you'll build something, it'll put some power to that thing. And he said, why don't you listen to me? And I did. And I at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, took over a ministry. It was called the Bible Club Ministry. It's a ministry to public school teenagers. And they were alternatives to the gangs from all over the Chicagoland area. And I took it, and it had a couple dozen workers. At its conclusion, we had about 400 workers. I'm not talking about 400 teenagers. I'm talking about 400 workers that were trained to go out and reach the youth of the Chicagoland area. He had given me an empty classroom, and he said, I want you to build an adult Sunday school class for young couples. I think on our very first Sunday, Mrs. Owens, we had 14 people that came, and on our last Sunday, there were 500 and some young married couples that showed up at the last meeting that we had. After that initial 4 or 5 years of doing what the preacher told me, because I always followed my preacher's advice, I did not travel. The engagement started coming in again, and I began to take them. I started traveling. I guess about 12 years ago, and after I began to travel, Brother Hiles asked me to take a preaching trip with him, and every once in a while he'd say, I'm going here, I'm going there, would you ride on the plane with me, and we'll just spend 3 days together, and we would eat our meals together and fly on the plane, and that our hotel rooms would be right beside one another, and we'd just take 3 days, and I would get a lot of intense training, and we'd spend a lot of time together. I hesitate to tell you what I'm about to say, but it's true, and I'm going to tell you. He said this to me. He said, Jeff, he said, I would like to see to it that you have a national ministry in the United States of America. He said, now, he said it takes about 10 years with the right help for a man to be known from one corner to another of this great nation. He said, well, sometimes we don't realize how big the United States of America really is. He said, it'll take about 10 years to accomplish this. He said, I feel like when I pass on, you will be in your prime, and I would like to make sure that when you come into your prime, that you have a voice in America. I never understood that. I kept saying, well, what are you talking about? I'm just a dumb little country boy. I'm not real smart. But that's what he said. I started getting overseas invitations. In a matter of a few months, from nine different countries, people would ask if I'd come and preach in big conferences and rallies. And I mean, they were telling me we could get 10 and 15,000 people together at a time if you'll come and you'll preach. And they had all my books and tapes. And they said, these people know who you are. So I went to see the boss. And I thought, look at this. I have arrived. I'd get invitations from across the big pond, and I went in and I put those down. I said, Brother Hiles, let me show you what I got here. I got these speaking invitations for overseas, and I just knew he was going to say, all right, go for it, travel, go. I took him in there and I said, what do you think of that? He said, well, he said, if I were you, I would not take those. He said, you're a very, very young man. He said, I don't think the timing is right for you to travel abroad and you're speaking and preaching. He said, Jeff, I would recommend that you build something right here in the United States of America, and let's get you a ministry here in the United States. He said, and then when you hit your 40s, he said, I think it'll be time for you to begin to do a little traveling abroad. He said, save it. He said, just trust me and save it. And I said, that's exactly what I'll do. I have never traveled out of the United States of America to preach, except for I've gone to Canada because that is what was recommended to me. And just as he predicted, he passed away, and I am in what they would call the prime years of my life. You don't think that. This isn't real prime, but I'm doing the best I can with my prime. My preaching schedule for 2004 is completely full. For 2005 is completely full. When people call me, about one-third of 2006 is full. Recently had an appointment with Dr. Wendell Evans, the foremost Christian educator on the face of the earth today. I met with him because I'll tell you what, I was a little scared. I'm 43 years old. My preacher's gone. And he told me about some things that scared me. Scared me very, very much. So I went to Dr. Evans and I said, Doc, I said, I want us to rethink something here. And I talked to him and I told him how I felt. I said, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm the man. And he said, don't you stop. He said, don't you stop. He said, you were trained for such a time as this. And he said something that I still don't understand. He said, Jeff, America needs you. I still don't understand it. I want to be honest with you, I don't believe it. I think last year I traveled about 100,000 miles on airplanes. I have a little file system that I use. And this stack, these are my speaking engagements. I'll be in Durham, North Carolina, and then Richmond, Virginia, and Los Angeles, California, Elizabethtown, Kentucky, Mesquite, Texas, Joppa, Maryland, Westfield, New Jersey, Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, Ocean Springs, Mississippi, Groton, Connecticut, Louisville, Kentucky, Bel Air, Maryland, Whipple, Ohio, London, Ontario, Canada, Moultrie, Georgia, Stockton, Missouri, Canton, Georgia, Mesa, Arizona, Charlotte, North Carolina, Canal, Virginia, Perth Amboy, New Jersey, Bath, Maine, Athens, Alabama, Cedar Lake, Indiana, Kansas City, Kansas, Greensboro, North Carolina, Lehighton, Pennsylvania, Somerset, New Jersey, Gloucester, New Jersey, Milton, Florida, Jeanette, Pennsylvania, Ewan, Alabama, Waynesburg, Richmond. Mrs. Costa mentioned to me, she said, "Oh, Brother Owens, I'm sorry, they're not up to date. There are others. I just don't have them all in your file right now." I don't understand this. I'm like a little boy that's caught up in a rushing mighty wind, and I'm not real sure what to do with it. I'm coming to my church. I'm going to explain something to you. I think sometimes you wonder, why do I travel? And tonight, I'm going to do the best of my ability, explain to you why I travel. I'm going to teach you a little bit about it. Why do I travel? Well, first of all, I travel because indeed it is a scriptural thing. To some, God allows their ministry to expand beyond their local area. God, for some reason, has allowed that to be my case. Paul cared for many churches all throughout the countries, and he went from place to place and helped a lot of churches. Now, I'm going to tell you about some people that have traveled. I could not qualify to shine the shoes of these people. I am not putting myself in this list of people. I would not dare do that. I would not deserve to be in that list. But if you studied history, you would find out that men like D.L. Moody pastored a church successfully and traveled throughout the nation and abroad to help other churches. J. Frank Norris, Bob Gray, Lee Robertson, Tom Malone, Jack Hiles. Again, I'm not in the same category, but those men pastored successful churches and then took what God was teaching them throughout the country and helped other churches to have revival in their churches. You see, I travel. One reason is because it is a scriptural thing. It is not unscriptural. It then broadens the influence of this church. We joke about it. I told you that when I received my first call from Martinsburg, West Virginia, I said to myself, "Where's Martinsburg, West Virginia?" I'd never heard of it. Now, I don't know if you know, but you are known all over the United States of America. Why do you travel, Brother Owens? I was given a gift. Someone handed me a baton and said, this is a gift. It's like when you run a race and it's a relay race, you pass that baton. I was given a gift to help churches and pastors across America. I have to tell you, I feel very responsible to carry that gift to other people. And this will sound like an exaggeration. I have trimmed it. I don't want it to sound like an exaggeration. I virtually know thousands of pastors and assistant pastors. And you say, "Oh, yeah, sure, throw the number thousands." Thousands. I know them from everywhere. If you think about it, every week or two, there's somebody that pops in here from somewhere in America to stop in here to say hi to us. And you say, "What are you doing when you go out there?" I'm going out and I'm doing the best I know how to serve my friends in the ministry. I don't go out to be a big shot. Let me tell you what I do. When I get there, I say, "Preacher, what can I do for you? How could I help you?" I said, "My schedule is now yours. I'm here. I'll do anything you want. There's no task too small. I don't walk in with my briefcase, with my nose in the air. I walk in to serve that pastor and serve those people and serve that church. I'm not a big shot. I'm not a big wig. I'm not a famous person. I'm a dumb little country boy that's just doing his best to try to help people." The idea started with my pastor, Brother Hiles. I've always followed pastoral leadership. The only thing is, God took his idea and he made it become reality. And no man could conjure up the opportunity that is now mine. And so why in the world do I travel? I travel because it's scriptural. I travel because I've been given a gift and I need to take the responsibility of that gift of influencing churches and pastors. I need to take it seriously. Why do I travel? I travel because I love America. I happen to believe this is the greatest country on the face of the earth. I happen to believe that our hope for America is not in the White House. I happen to believe the hope for America is in the church house. And if our churches become strong, our nation becomes strong. When our churches are weak, our nation is weak. And I'm going to do what little bit I can to try to help our country. Why do I travel? I'll be real honest. I'm afraid not to. I'm honestly afraid not to. I wish I could explain it all to you. I can't. Why do I travel? I've given you some of the reasons why I travel. Now let me tell you some things about my travels because I want you to understand. See, when I began to travel, I sat down with my wife and my kids and they helped me make the decision. And graciously they said, "Dad," said to me, "you go ahead because that's what you're supposed to do." Well, they're not my only family. I have a family here. And I felt like maybe we ought to have some of the same conversation. I ought to let my extended family, the people of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, understand why I do what I do. I want you to know, I don't ask for meetings. I've never requested a meeting ever in my entire life, ever. I've never written a letter. I've never made a phone call. I never purchased an advertisement in any newspaper that said I'm available. I think missionaries need to do so, and I know preachers that do so. I'm not mad at them. I'm not preaching against it. I'm just telling you, my meetings don't come from self-promotion. And I know you find that hard to believe, but I don't promote me. I don't try to get meetings. I don't know any other way to say it than, for some reason, God must be providing the meetings when I travel. I don't ask for preaching opportunity, but it comes. And so, I've told you why I travel. I've told you how the meetings come. The phone just rings. You can talk to my secretaries. They'll tell you. It's constant. The phone just rings. And I want you to know, I had a little fear when I left the great First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I wondered, I said to myself, does this conclude my national ministry? Now, I believed in all of you so much, I was willing, as it concluded my national ministry, that I would come here and do what God told me to do. But my meetings have picked up even more, and there are more opportunities. Next, I travel every other week. I do this for our church's sake. Our church is most important to me, and it will stay that way. I won't let travels kill our church. If you've noticed, I don't think my travels have slowed the work down any. It seems to be going okay. You know, someone said, you know, well, maybe if you'd stick around, maybe we'd get something done around here. It might be best for all of you that I do get away every once in a while. The staff is always glad to see my suitcases packed. Did you know that a man could help to to care for other churches around the nation and successfully do something for God at home. I really do believe that. Sometimes in this scheduling, I travel every other week. Sometimes I'll skip a week, and my wife will tell you I'm delighted when I'm home 2 weeks in a row. I'm just in hog heaven. And then every once in a while, I'll have a couple of weeks in a row where I'll be gone. But for the most part, it's every other week. I used to travel every week. Brother Paul Mongan said to me when we were talking about when I finally got here and you know we landed and I took off. He said, Brother Owens, he said, you're home. He said, I thought we had an understanding. We thought you were going to travel every week. I canceled and moved some engagements around because I thought for the opening of our church that I needed to be careful and that I could not afford to be gone every other week. And that's the way it is right now. And now, I want you to know, I may reserve the right to travel a little bit more, or I may reserve the right to travel a little bit less. But I won't cheat you, I promise you. Brother Owens, and I'll tell you in a moment, I'm not on a vacation while I'm traveling. It's not a vacation. But I travel every other week. Now, number next. I accept my speaking engagements on a first-come, first-served basis. I know some preachers that they determine where they're going to preach based on the size of the church. Well, let me explain to you my feelings. There is no such thing as a little church. I never make the decision. If on Monday a church running 60 people call me and ask for a certain date, and on Tuesday a church running 600 or 6,000 call me and ask for the same date, it's a first come, first served basis. There are no little churches. There are no unimportant pastors to me. None whatsoever. And so I accept these engagements on a first-come, first-served basis. I don't pick one church over another. I just want to be a benefit and help to them all. If I had a date open and somebody calls, I won't put it on hold. I'll just do the right thing. To the preachers across America, I wish I could tell them all. Brother Owens tries to work on a foundation of integrity. To me, there's no such thing as a small opportunity or a big opportunity when it's preaching the Word of God. To me, every opportunity is a big opportunity. If I'm standing in front of a Sunday school class of 10 people, I'll give you my dead level best and I'll prepare as if I were standing before 10,000 people because the number of people has nothing to do with the quality that my Lord deserves when I stand in the pulpit. I have a waiting list of people hoping for cancellations. Baptists are so good to one another. There are men out there praying that somebody else's meeting will fall apart and that it'll cancel so that they can get that meeting. When I travel somewhere, I often will have anywhere between 5 and 25 different churches that will show up to be a part of a given meeting. That's good because if I do want to influence a nation, then if I can and a bunch of pastors show up, I get to preach to the pastor and then he gets to take the excitement and the zeal home to his church members. And I think there are times when I travel through what I'd call osmosis. We have the privilege of speaking to many, many, many thousands because if I've got 20 preachers and they all go home to a church of 200, then suddenly you see how the influence multiplies. Next, I do not plan to miss our church services. As you know, I'm here. I'm here. And I work very hard at being here. I can tell you that often when I fly to the West Coast, I'll get up as early as 1:45 and 2 o'clock in the morning to gather and to catch all the planes to get back here. And more than one time, I've walked into this building 2 minutes before the service starts on a Wednesday night after having traveled all the way from the other end of the nation to get here. And I will do that. I promise you I will do that. I often have Monday, Tuesday meetings. And I'll get up Monday morning. I'll work. We'll head for the airport. I'll be gone on a Tuesday, and then I'll fly back and work on a Wednesday. But I will do my dead level best to always be here. We have had, I think I have performed 14 funerals since I became your pastor. I've not missed a one. I was there for your funerals, and I did my best to make it something above average in regard to your funeral services for your loved ones. This summer, I have a son that's getting married. You'll see every once in a while the only reason in the world that I will miss being in this pulpit if I get my way will be for my family's sake. There'll be times when my wife and I and my children will go on vacation. Because if my family doesn't hold it together, my church does not have a good example. We're not a perfect family, but we'll do our best to try to keep our family right, which means every once in a while, I've got to get away from you. There'll be a couple times maybe this summer where I'll be gone. But you will find out it will be because I'm either vacationing with my family. Most of the time you'll not see me going on Sundays at all. I'll try to make those Wednesdays. You can ask the people in my adult Sunday school class at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. For 14 years, I never missed one service due to sickness. I never missed any services due to anything, except for I'll miss a church service in my church for my family. I can tell you that I've gone to the pulpit. I was throwing up in my bathroom before I walked into the pulpit. I preached my sermon and I walked to my bathroom and throw up again. I've been that sick, but never have I missed in 14 years that one little Sunday school class just because I didn't feel well. I've been in situations where I've had to rent cars and drive for 18 and 20 hours to get back in time to teach my Sunday school class because I happen to think it's the most important job in the world, teaching the Bible. I will not schedule preaching away from here to be at some meeting somewhere. I'm going to be here on Sundays. I turn down more speaking engagements than I receive. You say, why? Because they want me on Sundays. And I said, no. I'm at my church on Sunday with my people. It's the most important church in the entire world. And I'm going to be here at my church on Sundays. You are the most important people in the entire world. My travels have now become your ministry. You say, what do you do when you're away preaching, Brother Owens? I work. I work on sermons for our church. So you know, if I go preach in some big conference somewhere, do you know what sermons they get in the conferences? They get warmed over sermons from here. I take what I preach to you, soup it up a little bit here and there, and I go there and preach it. I will not spend my energy preparing new sermons for other churches. I'll spend my energy preparing new sermons for my church. That's how I do it. I call home often, and I call the church constantly. When I'm gone, the phone rings about every hour or two, and I'm calling in, and all the secretaries could tell you, I'm calling in. And sometimes it's very hard for me to figure out which secretary is which secretary, and I'll begin to talk to them, and I realize, nope, it's the wrong one. But I call in constantly to make sure things are going well here. Say, what do you do while you're away? I don't fellowship, and I don't play. I don't go and play golf. I'm for golf. I'm not very good at it, but I'm for golf, but I don't go golf. I don't go play. I work all the time I'm there. I shut myself in my hotel room. There's a little desk in most hotel rooms, and I set all my papers and things out, and I take off. I hit it running the very moment I get to that hotel. I plan things for our church. I organize things for our church. I use a fax machine at the hotel probably more than anybody else there as I'm faxing ideas and things that need to be done back and forth. I pray for our church. I've spent many hours on my face in a hotel room praying for the people of this church. When I'm there, I often counsel. Pastors will say, for the ones I need help, could you counsel me? And I'll meet with them. Often pastors say, I've got a situation with some people in my church, and I'm wondering if maybe you could meet with my church people and help them. And I often will do that. Often pastors will say, could you counsel with one of my staff members? There's a problem here, Brother Owens, and I'm not sure how to deal with it. And I do that. But it's not a picnic. I usually get between three and four hours of sleep a night when I'm away. I like to use my time working. And just so you know, working to me is rewarding. Work is not punishment. Work is a reward to me. At the airport, you ask any of the men that take me back and forth to the airport. If they pick me up and take me to the airport, the minute we get in the car, we go to work. My briefcase comes open, we'll take the bus ministry, and we'll spend 2 hours on the way to the airport. We'll come up with ideas and organize, or if it's the men's ministry, or if it's the Martinsburg Christian Academy, or the youth ministry, or the music ministry, or whatever it is, you can be sure. We hit in the car, we spend 2 hours on the way to Dulles Airport, we work all the way there, and then when you pick me up at the airport, you get ready, get your pen ready, because we're going to work all the way back. My schedule of preaching is on my website. My website is www.owenspublications.com. If you've seen it, it is a very full schedule. Again, I turn down as many engagements as I accept. One of these days, I might splash an advertisement in one of the newspapers about our schedule, but to be very honest with you, it doesn't seem like it's been real necessary. Now, one of the reasons why I put it on the website is because it keeps people from calling our church all the time asking about the schedule. I need our church ladies to be doing our church work and not to be worrying about what's happening at the other meetings across the country. I want you to know this. The Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church pays for nothing in regard to my travels. Not a penny. Not one single penny. I pay my expenses, or the church that is hosting me pays my expenses, but it costs you nothing, nor will it cost you anything. I would like to say it probably benefits you far more than what you realize. I want to tell you this also. Sometimes I'm given a love offering. I'll go, and they will take a love offering up, and they'll give it to me, much like you have done here. Sometimes there's nothing. Sometimes it's a very pleasant offering. Let me tell you what I do. Many times, I'll give it back. I have a very difficult time going to a little church that's struggling, and I know the pastor's working down at 7-Eleven, and he's got to have a part-time job because they can't make it. I just have a difficult time going to a place like that and realizing he's struggling. So sometimes I'll give it to the pastor. Often I'll give it to his wife and tell her to get herself a new dress. I pay taxes. I turn in every single penny that I earn. You could ask the people to help me with my taxes. I will not be dishonest about it. Every penny I turn in on my taxes, and I pay the taxes. Sometimes when I get a love offering, I'll use it to help somebody I love. Every once in a while, a need will come up, and I'll use that money to try to help somebody with a need. My decisions are never based on money. You heard me preach a sermon here. I am not for sale. I am not for sale. I'm not up to the highest bidder, nor will I be. If someone said to me, and I've had this said, someone said to me, Brother Owens, if you'll come preach for us, we'll give you this much money for coming and preaching. I immediately say, I cannot come and preach for you. Had you not told me you were going to try to pay me to do it, I could have come. But I will not make my decision based on money. And so, I don't go for the money's sake. Money is not an issue. And just so you know, I know preachers that will demand that they fly first class. I've only flown first class 2 times in my lifetime. Once was with my wife. Another time, I was very kind to some people at the airlines, and they just said, you've made our day, and we're insisting that we bump you to first class, sir. And they gave that to me as a free gift. When I go to churches, I don't waste their money. Brother Bush will tell you. He helps me get my airline tickets, and I get the cheapest tickets I can. If it means I have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to do it, I will not drain churches of their finances to go and try to help them. I have preachers that will, I know some that will demand certain things. There's a certain amount of money they have to come into a church. I don't do it that way. They demand certain accommodations. I don't do it that way. Don't need to stay in a tent. That's fine with me. It's better than being in hell, and I have the privilege of preaching the gospel. I never complain. I mean, I've actually been with preachers that thrown fits about their hotel rooms. Well, I'll tell you something. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head, and for me to complain about a hotel room because it's not up to snuff is totally ridiculous. And I think some preachers out there, they're awful arrogant and out of place. But it's not my place. That's their problem. I know I sleep at night. because I try to be proper with churches. I get a love offering and I keep some of it. Somebody has to buy my coffee and my Crumpy's donuts and my caramel-filled ho-hos. Say, Brother Owens, to who do you go? To who do you go and preach? I will not preach for anybody that is anything other than a King James Bible-only church. I go to soul-winning churches. I go to churches with standards, separation from the world. Are they out there? Everywhere. They're everywhere like that. I know some that will only go to the alumni from the college from which they graduated. I do not do that. Though from whichever college they're from, if they don't uphold the standards of this book, the convictions of this book, the doctrines of this book, I will not preach for them. But from which college? There are some people that are more loyal to their colleges than they are to God. I don't believe that. If you stand proper with the Word of God, then I would be willing to come and preach for you. I'm not loyal to institutions. I've been taught to be loyal to my principles. My principles do not change, but institutions so often corrupt. I only preach for independent fundamental Baptists. I don't preach for Southern Baptists. I don't preach for any other denomination. By the way, that is my choice. I am an independent fundamental Baptist. I preach for people that believe the way that we believe. I believe in ecclesiastical separation. I don't want association any other way. And by the way, I have so many people like us that are willing to have me. I don't have to go out beyond that, and I wouldn't anyway. You say, Brother Owens, how do you preach while you're away from here? Well, I do my best to love them. I do my best to love everybody. I don't think you know how hard it is to be an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. I will preach what the Bible says. Sometimes it's pretty rough. I'll do my best to love people while I'm preaching. I try to love people across the country. I would like for people to think that I'm a gentleman while I'm out there. But I am not a compromiser. I don't compromise what I stand for, nor will I. I preach the same standards that I believe. I am a straightforward preacher when I'm out there. And just so you all know, our nation is starved for preachers that will not compromise. Starved for it. You take my hottest sermons that I have available, they buy them virtually by the thousands because they're tired of the soft soaping and the cowardly ways that some preachers handle themselves. Did you know there's a way to preach hard and still love people? There's a way to tell the truth and stand for your convictions. You do not have to be mean-spirited and hurt somebody. When I go to a church, my goal is to leave that church in better shape than when I found it. I don't think I should go there and attack their problems. I let their pastor take care of that. I only address issues in the church that I think that if the pastor requests, if he comes, he says, Brother Owens, I'd like you to preach on thus and so. I'm glad to do that. He is the pastor. And I submit to him while I am there. If they ever tell you something you can't preach, if they did, I probably wouldn't preach for them again. Because people don't tell me what to preach. I'm glad to help the pastor if he'd like for me to preach something. I'm glad to do that. I try not, I'm careful when I go to a church. As you know, I've got Owens Publications. I have books and tapes. And when I go to a place, first thing I say to the people, I say, don't you come to my book table and don't you come to my tape table and spend your tithe on those extracurriculars. Your tithe goes into your local New Testament church because that is what is right. Owens Publications is not a business. It is a ministry, and I plan to keep it that way. I go to conferences. I almost hate them. Everybody wants to have a preaching contest. I'm not in preaching contests. I'm in a life-changing mode, and that's what I want to do. I want to change the lives of people. That's all. I go to churches, and I preach about being loyal to their pastor because somebody needs to come along and tell the people that you need to follow your pastor. He is responsible to God for the church. I'll tell you something else they don't do. I don't go around the country and try to solve the national problems in the local churches. You see, Baptist preachers sometimes can't get along. They get to fussing and fighting among themselves, and they travel the country and go across the country airing their differences between somebody across the country they don't like in some local New Testament church. Well, to be quite honest, I never do that, nor do I plan to do that. I think I learned something. The laymen don't care about Baptist preachers that can't behave themselves. They care about somebody teaching them how to rear their kids, how to handle their finances, how to do right, how to just keep on going. And I'm a little embarrassed sometimes of how sometimes preachers behave themselves. I'm not trying to lead fundamentalism. I'm just a country preacher that's trying to care for everybody that I can care for. My knowledge of the national problems does not make me powerful or impressive. It almost embarrasses me. Laymen need help, not the scuttlebutt about what's going on across the nation. Now, let me tell you something about traveling. It's probably not as fun as what you may think. I sleep in strange beds with strange pillows. I go to airports and go through in and out of metal detectors constantly. You say, well, you get to eat out. You'd be shocked at how quickly McDonald's can get old. You'd be shocked. The golden arches have turned to wood in my sight. I'm away from my wife, and she'll tell you. If it were not for her, I probably would not go. Because it'll come the day before I need to go to a meeting, and I'll say, honey, I don't know if I can go again. And she'll say, you know, you need to. I'll get the courage up, and I'll leave again. I take my family with me when I can. Often I'll fly my kids and they'll go somewhere. And when I'm driving, it's a treat. I'll take the family. I never ask for this. Never ask for a meeting. Sometimes I don't want the responsibility, but I'm going to do my best to be responsible in regard to the responsibility that's been given to me. I'm almost finished. Stay with me for a second here. What can you do to help? You see, you have accepted the responsibility as we share this ministry because I can't do it alone. You say, what could I do, Brother Owens? Please be for God's will for my life. I want you to be for it. Now, I have to tell you, you say, Brother Owens, sometimes it's hard. I'll guarantee you, it's harder on me than it is you. It'd be real easy for me to stay here all the time. Oh, it'd be so easy. Mrs. Owens and I woke up this morning, me about 5, her about 10:30. No, we woke up this morning, and our windows were open, and you could hear nothing but the birds. It was so pleasant. I thought, it's Sunday, I'm going to church. It was so pleasant. I could wake up every morning of my life that way for the rest of my life and not be bothered at all. If God came today and said, Jeff, you're done, He would not have to say it twice. I'd say, whatever you say, Lord. I've done my best to follow His guiding. But if you would be for it, it would help me. If you would pray for me, I'll be very honest. I need strength. I need strength. Brother Davis, I'm very weary. I get tired. I hate to admit to it. I get very tired. I apologize. There are a few Wednesday nights I'll come in here, and you'll know I'm tired. I'll say things twice. I'll goof things up. It's probably because I've been up since 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning traveling, trying to get back here. I apologize if I let you down. It's not my intent. Pray for me. Staff, keep things going. Let me tell you something, folks. I have a very capable staff. Very loyal staff. I don't worry a lick when I leave town that somebody's going to stab me in the back. Not at all. I want you to love this staff. I was telling Brother Doss's Sunday school class this morning, and Brother Doss was out of town, and I told him, I said, I want you to love Brother Doss. I want you to love these men on our staff. I am not for a moment going to be stingy. You're such wonderful people. It's a great thing to watch you love the staff. Love away. I love it. I want us to love each other. They're just as important as I am, and I really mean that. But I have a wonderful staff, and I thank God for them. Staff, learn your duties. Keep your duties going. Don't make me babysit you. You learn. And you can help us to continue our revival. Let me tell you what else you could do. Help me keep our church going. Don't fight what God's doing. Let our church continue to grow. I guess I can't explain it to you, but the pastor, I don't go to the churches and tell them all about what's going on around here. And I'll tell you why, because sometimes I think I might depress that pastor, and he might feel like, well, you come in here and tell about all these thousands of this and all this happening at your church, and I wouldn't want to hurt him. I'm there to help him. But virtually every church I go to, the pastor says, Brother Owens, you got to tell them what's happening at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. It encourages them to see that there's revival happening out there. And he said, I want them to catch the spirit of that thing. But let's keep it going, because it sounds like they need us. What little churches I go to, I think they need us. Not long ago, I had an appointment with one of the greatest men in America. If I mentioned his name, you would all know him. He said this to me. I tried, as I left his office, to write down what he said. He said, Brother Owens, you will probably have a greater ministry than ever now that you are pastoring a thriving church. He said, to be the president of a successful Bible college would have been good. He said, but pastors across America respect successful churches more than they do successful colleges. You have added a dimension to your work. And if you continue, you will help more churches probably across the country than what you would have at a college. Hey. Folks, don't fight our church's direction. I'm going to tell you, the direction we're heading is the right direction.
Amen.
I have no doubt in my mind of that at all.
Yes.
I am an old-time, fundamental Baptist preacher. Somebody said to Billy Sunday, he said, Billy, you're rubbing the cat the wrong way. Billy said, then you need to turn the cat around. To fight the direction of our church is to fight your part in helping America. I hope you'll stop and realize this is bigger than me and you. If you don't like something about me, please believe this is bigger than our petty differences. Realize that if we're going to be used in a big way, that the devil's going to fight us. He's come around some. We fought some battles that you know nothing of. I'd rather fight him in private for your sake if I can. I fight my fair share. He'll come around. I don't think we're going to get out of this thing without getting kicked around. I've been kicked before. You get kicked again. You'll get kicked some. Because if you're going to do something for God, the devil's not going to be happy about it. Well, you need to know that it could happen. But I think they'd use Jesus a little on his way to doing what he could to save the world. I don't know how much God's going to use me or use us. I just know this. I'm going along for the ride. And I don't want to miss any of it. I had a little conversation with my family when I started doing some traveling, and I explained some of these things to them. I got to thinking it would probably be good if the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church could hear this, so you understand me a little bit and you understand why it is I get on an airplane and I fly somewhere in America. I'm not a big shot. I don't want to be a big shot. I just want to do everything I can with everything that I've been given. I do not understand why I have been given so much, but I have been. I would be a thief and a robber if I did not take all the training that has been handed to me by some of the greatest men that have ever walked the face of the earth. If I took that and I kept it right here, it wouldn't be right. We've got to share it. And I want to share it with you, and I want you to help me share it with any church across the country that would be willing to hear what God's doing in this place and that what God wants to do in their church as well. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, let me tell you something. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. His son was buried for you and resurrected for you. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd recommend that you get born again. It's well worth it. And you can start helping us as we do what we can to influence not only Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, but the uttermost parts of the world. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.